Hey there, this is Pastor Bill bringing you News in Focus, and we are going to bring you another article on abortion this morning. This one is entitled, GOP Puts Tax Dollars in Life Savings. This was posted on the 10th, which is just, of course, a few days ago. Sending in your taxes shouldn't mean signing over your beliefs. But when it comes to issues like abortion, that's exactly what the Obama administration is asking America to do. As pro-lifers, we have fought to give the medical community a way out of procedures they object to. So as taxpayers, we deserve the same protection. No one should be forced into partnerships with an industry that spills the blood of innocent unborn humans. And if Congressman Chris Smith and Dan Lipinski get their way, no one will. Now, the interesting thing about that is you have a Republican from New Jersey and a Democrat from Illinois co-sponsoring a bill. For years, they've been fighting to build a wall between taxpayer dollars and pro-abortion programs. In 2011, their No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion Act sailed through the House, only to die at the Senate's front door. This year, the duo is trying again. With more than 145 co-sponsors, H.R. 7 would ensure that you and I aren't reluctant shareholders in the nation's abortion business, in Obamacare, domestic spending, and even foreign aid. Yesterday, the House debated the bill in a feisty hearing of the House Judiciary Subcommittee. As always, emotions were close to the surface as the two parties sniped back and forth on the need for such a law. Not surprisingly, Democrats spent most of their time trying to persuade people that the bill would somehow ban abortion. Don't believe it. In fact, the legislation explicitly states that anyone who wants health insurance with abortion coverage or supplemental abortion coverage can purchase it, just not with federal dollars. Now, that's glorious, isn't it? The only problem is that we can't seem to, just like we have the anomaly of a Democrat co-sponsoring such a good bill, we have a Republican of New York, Nadler, who is actually against it, and he's whipping up, it seems like, uninformed nonsense about how this would undercut current abortion legislation. And we wish that it would. We wish that we could pass a law that says it is illegal to kill someone. I mean, I can't believe we're talking about this. But in any case, I see evidence of progress here, friends, because it has been for a few years now, this guy, Mr. Bill Sturm, has been praying that God would somehow stop it, that somehow God would stop taxpayer funding of abortion. I don't want any part of that. I've even considered moving. So this is good. You can't turn a big ship quickly. In any case, with Obamacare barreling down the track, people on both sides of the issue recognize the importance of pulling the plug on taxpayer involvement. At last check, a whopping 67% of Americans agreed. All right. And another one of the left's convenient talking points is the country doesn't need H.R. 7 because it has the Hyde Amendment, which strips taxpayer funding of abortion in appropriations bills. But unlike H.R. 7, the Hyde Amendment has to be reauthorized every year to stay in effect. The No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion Act would save Congress from the annual fight and create a permanent government-wide ban on abortion funding. And from our perspective, that's good because then it would take the same kind of battle to get it repealed or changed, whereas you need an affirmation or a vote of confidence almost for this Hyde Amendment. And what happens when you get people in office who don't agree with it? Well, then that's all that it takes is less people that are in favor of it. Not people that vote against it. No, that's less people who are in favor of it. So Susan Woods, Democrats' witness at Thursday's hearing, also claimed the bill would end private coverage abortion, which is ridiculous on its face. They may come as a shock to liberals, but just because the government doesn't fund something doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Despite what the left would have you believe, the Smith-Lipinski measure would outlaw abortion. It would just make the government, it would just make the government neutral on the question of taxpayer funding. And that's what Americans want. For more on this important conscience-preserving bill found on FRC.org, January 14th, and what it can mean for the nation, don't miss next Wednesday's policy lecture at FRC headquarters and so forth. So if you're listening in the D.C. area, you might want to check out FRC's update, lecture, briefing, whatever, this coming Wednesday. Now, I hope that you'll see this as an answer to prayer from the Lord and that you will do the right thing and that you will show support and re-vote for people who vote on this kind of thing. Okay, this is really important stuff. This is even more important, dare say, than balancing the budget. Now, I think they're both very important. But let's try to remember that it's when you get your priorities straight, you quit spending dumb money anyway. And you just do. You don't, you know, when you're in debt, you're trying to figure out how to balance the budget, first thing you do is quit stopping at Starbucks every day. Okay? So, in any case, when you realize there's such a thing wrong as infanticide, then you find a way to stop spending money on it. And one of the best ways to do that is to, you know, not send $600 million to Planned Parenthood. Yeah, that's just one example. All right, so this is Pastor Bill. Please post your comments directly to this recording. Save all of your nonsensical arguments about how when you're a female and you can have a baby, then you can have a voice on this. That's just silly, okay? There's a lot of laws on the books that I don't have to be a partaker of their antinomal or their opposite effect for me to have a voice. In other words, let's put it this way. I don't have to be a paraplegic to know that certain paraplegics have certain rights. And I also don't need to be a paraplegic. I'm just picking it, just an example. I don't need to be someone who lost a leg in a war to know that veterans in particular situations need particular rights and benefits. Nor do I need to be an amputee to know that you shouldn't get a Mercedes-Benz simply because you're an amputee. In other words, simply because I'm not partaker of a particular subgroup or people group or constituency does not mean that I don't have a brain in my head where I can decide that something is right or wrong or over the top or avarice. Okay? Thanks for listening.